local attorney and former city councilman Craig Pappin running for district judge. We appreciate him joining us this morning. Good morning, Craig.
Well, good morning, and thanks for having me.
How are you?
Doing good, thanks.
Let's start out. Talk a little bit about your city council experience for us.
Well, I spent 4 years with the city council in the fourth ward, that'd be the northwest corner of the city. It was quite a interesting experience. You know, we weighed in on a lot of different things that matter to the constituents of Fourth Ward. I tried to focus on things that essential services, essentially, right? We looked at upgrading the water supply, making sure there was always a clean and reliable water system, that we had police fire protection, that we created a stable environment for those that wanted to invest in the city to give them some predictability going forward, such that we were able to achieve quite a bit of economic development during that 4 years I was there.
Learning experience?
Certainly it was a learning experience as well, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. It was also an opportunity, again, to serve my community.
Yep. Talk about your legal background. Experience always a key when you're running for judge.
Well, sure. Some of the experience I have in the legal community actually started a lot farther back in the law enforcement arena. Back in 1979, I entered the Air Force, was a law enforcement specialist. I was stationed at Grand Forks in North Dakota and performed regular base patrol, things that a small police department would otherwise do. So I investigated low-level crimes, wrote police reports, things like that at that time. I was later assigned to a base in Athens, Greece. Following a terrorist event over there, I was recruited into the Office of Special Investigations. So I went to Washington, D.C., went through the academy, graduated as a special agent, was reassigned then to a base near St. Louis, Missouri. And we conducted base-level fraud and felony investigations. We also worked in counterintelligence and counter-espionage and anti-terrorism type of work. From there, I had the opportunity to attend an undercover training class that we would have about every once a year, maybe once every 2 years. I excelled at that. I was then invited back to Washington, D.C. as the Air Force's only full-time undercover agent. I did that for about a year and a half, traveling all over the country, a little international. And then following that year and a half, I then was assigned to Andrews Air Force Base as a field agent, and one of our large duties there was to handle the arrivals and departures of foreign dignitaries, including the President of the United States, Vice President, and other foreign dignitaries. So from the base-level investigations, that was my first experience in the law area. Later, when I went to Cooley Law School, excuse me, that began my law career here in the Jackson County area. During law school, I clerked for Judge McBain, so I was his court clerk and court officer. During that time, we would do various courtroom duties, but I would also help brief different decisions in civil matters, things like that, mm-hmm. Legal research. Along that line. Then went into private practice, worked in the felony defense arena, and then picked up some other work with the Attorney General's office, such that I had, for the last 6 years, been able to prosecute financial crimes in a multi-county area. And then also about the last 6 years, I was assigned with the mental health court team and have been working on that alternative court for the last 6 years.
No shortage of experience. Then.
No. It's quite a diverse background.
Mm-hmm. So why district judge, Craig?
Well, I think that to me that's another challenge, another opportunity to take the experiences that I've had and, again, serve the community. That's always been a big part of my life. And the way I was brought up, my family was really involved in the Lions Club back in the day. I was involved in 79 and during the 80s in the Bay City Lions Club. I decided that I wanted to serve my country. That's what brought me to the Air Force, both active duty, reserve, was called back up for the beginning of the Iraq War, and finished up my term as in the reserves. But it's always been about service to the community. During my early college career, I was able to take some additional training through the Community Action Agency, and I volunteered to be a mediator. So in addition to the other civil-type work that I do in my private practice, I was able to work in some alternative dispute resolution services as a volunteer to my community back then as well. So City Council was part of that as well, and this is yet another aspect of that, and I think I've got some great skills through the experience I've had, and I think in order to fully utilize that, I think I can continue to serve my community in that capacity.
Is that important for a judge to be involved in? In the aspects of the community?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The ability to understand the community,
know the people,
values, and absolutely, yes. And knowing the people, certainly candidates can come and say that, but I have a proven track record, one that's objective, you know, that's objective, that you can look at and see that I've done that.
What are some of the positives you might bring to the bench, and how might that differentiate you from your opponents?
Well, some of the positives, I think, then again, are the vast diversity of the experience that I've had. I don't come at it from just a practitioner within the criminal justice system. I bring outside experience, rich experience as well, and I think it's a combination of all those factors that make my background much more rounded and a richer background that that I can draw from.
Obviously, with the COVID, it's been a different sort of campaign where you probably haven't been able to get out, just go door to door. But I'm sure you've talked to a lot of voters. What concerns the community, Craig? And you've, of course, been around the legal system here.
Well, sure. There are a number of concerns and things that are raised. You know, some of the main questions are what are your qualifications? What you know, makes you the better candidate, of course. I think just, you know, being aware of what's going on in the community would indicate that, you know, we have certainly a segment of our population, that, as well as other communities, that have a substance abuse issue that can manifest into other criminal activity too. So that's certainly part of that. We see certain aspects of violent crime and domestic violence and gun violence, and that is not uncommon, but it is something that we as a community need to deal with as well.
District court judge, wide variety of cases and a lot of them.
Right. So district court is a court of limited jurisdiction. It is the court that on the criminal side is going to be looking at misdemeanor crimes. On the civil side, when half the docket is civil. And I think part of my background, again, deals with that more fully with that civil side of the docket. But mm-hmm. it's controversies under $25,000 and, again, the misdemeanor type criminal offenses. There is also the portion of the felony crimes that start off in district court for preliminary exam purposes that you have under your jurisdiction at that point also.
Everybody's talked about, and you hear it all the time, temperament, judicial temperament. How would you describe where you would fit in there?
Well, I think that from a temperament standpoint, it all starts with, I think, just a common respect. Giving people a common level of respect that everybody is due. That's important. From a temperament standpoint, you know, tomorrow's another day. These are practitioners or people often you're going to work with day in and day out. You know, while some folks you can see where they'll advocate for their particular position can get a little heated at times, you know, you take that into context. And, you know, again, tomorrow's another day, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty easy going with that.
big debate in the country right now on policing, crime, really the whole system. Where might you fall in there?
In the national debate on policing, well, I support the police. I think what happens is, is you certainly have a bad apple, for example, that really draws a lot of attention, and rightly so. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the majority in law enforcement, and I know this from my experience, both at the federal level that I worked at as a federal agent, and with a lot of police departments. The people really, law enforcement, you know, their heart's in the right place. They're trying to do a job. They're trying to help people. They're trying to make a difference in their communities. That's the overwhelming majority of that. So to disband police forces, I disagree with that. I think there's some ongoing debate as to what exactly that's going to mean. Is that a defund? Is it just a rethinking the structure of a police department, maybe a public safety, or calling it something else? So I think that is going to take some further debate to kind of work that out in the communities, especially where that's more of an acute problem.
Would you describe yourself as tough on crime?
I think so. I think I'm going to be, you know, what I refer to as a, you know, a rule of law judge,
because one of the big decisions you make is locking somebody up or putting them on probation.
Oh, I see. Yeah, sure. When you're looking at sentencing, you look at fundamentally what are we after? What are our goals of sentencing? Certainly, punishment and consequences have its place. You also want to look at protection of society. You look at deterrence, the deterrence that is specific to that individual, but more of a general deterrence. Hey, listen, don't engage in this kind of activity or things can happen to you. But you also look at the rehabilitation of that client and those potential. So you balance all of those factors together. Each case is different. Each person's background is different. The circumstances of the offense may be different, more aggravated, less aggravated or mitigated. So it's a balancing act between those when you determine those kind of sentences.
Talk to everybody this week about being equal before the law. And of course, everybody should, but we know that's probably not the case.
Well, fundamentally, people are equal before the law in the terms of the concept, okay, of what our goal is in the criminal justice system. Remember that what we start with is an adversarial system. In the case of, let's say, criminal as opposed to civil, you're going to have a plaintiff's attorney represented, the people represented by the prosecutor's office, and then you have a defense or defense attorney who is going to really represent their client.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the judge would oversee this and try to ensure, you know, the fairness of the process to make sure certain rules of evidence are followed or other procedural rules are followed. But it is that process, that adversarial process of trying to vet out and trying to come to the right conclusion. Doesn't always happen. Doesn't always mean that somebody is treated fairly one way or the other, whether it be on the prosecution side, who also has a right to a fair trial, or the defense that certainly has a right to fair trial as well. So things can happen. And sometimes it isn't fair. But there are also other checks and balances in the system as well to make sure that our system is the fairest that it can be, and that would be through appeal processes, in this case to circuit court or to the Court of Appeals or ultimately the Supreme Court or the federal courts as well. So those checks and balances are very important, again, for the goal of that everybody is equal before the law.
We had a news story today about the court house opening back up. How difficult has that been, and what do you see going forward? Do you see more virtual type activity there?
Well, I think as a society where we look at where we've experienced the virtual meetings and through Zoom or any of the other programs right now, we're primarily relying on the Zoom app. I think that even in corporate America, that is going to be something that's going to be considered more, you know, the more working from home and that sort of thing. I think in the court system, there is a value to having in-person appearances. One of the things I've found that in certain parts where points procedurally where you're taking evidence or taking testimony from somebody, to have that personal interaction, I think, is very important. I think that in the case of especially, let's say, a jury trial, the stakes are very high, and the witnesses are testifying. To watch that that nonverbal behavior of the witness, to see them squirming in the seat, looking away, can be very insightful to a jury or in the formulation of follow-up questions. Sure. That certainly can be missed on Zoom. So certain low-level things, certain routine things, I think there could be a greater reliance going forward, just from a cost-saving standpoint. You know, so many things in any of our government-provided services, including the criminal justice system, you know, rely on funding, and you need to be creative in the funding that you can secure in order to make it last or be as applied to areas that are critical. So if there's cost-saving techniques that you can use and thinking outside the box, this could be one of them. Again, routine matters could be handled by Zoom. Notary services, things like this that could otherwise be handled by fax. Anything that we can save money on, I think it is definitely a positive for the system, ultimately for the community.
One of the big issues around here for a long time has been gun violence. I'm sure that's on the top of your list also.
Well,
you're not a big fan of that.
Oh, right, exactly. In fact, if you look back at my time on City Council, one of the programs that I looked at, and this is following a homicide, I contacted a company that provided some technology. It was think of it like a fancy alarm service. And this is just simply an idea. I wanted to have some discussion on it and then see if we could get some funding to give it a good test. But the program is called ShotSpotter. And this particular company would come then into the community under contract and install acoustic sensors that were capable of hearing loud reports of, let's say, a fire, even fireworks, a car backfiring or something to this effect. That's the kind of thing that these acoustic sensors would pick up. They would be pre-positioned based on topography, building structure, tree canopy, things like this, such that they're software then would be able to triangulate the source of that loud noise. The computer programs then human listeners could then determine and rule out fireworks because of the secondary reports or car backfires or whatever, and it would have a fairly accurate location of where that shot was fired. Now, why is that important? It's going to increase the speed at which first responders could arrive in the affected area. It gives the first responders accurate information, so they're not simply driving through the affected area to go to the house of the person that called the police to begin with, if they even called, and then, of course, the delay. It could give the information, the critical information, that you might have multiple shooters or a shooter that is moving. This is all information that that first responder needs to effectively deal with the situation at hand. So the other thing that happens in the community is that we would then see the officers responding closer to a 100% response rate and going to the affected area, giving confidence in that community that the police are fully engaged. Certainly that, coupled with best practices, then allow the police to follow up, again, get perhaps more actionable information to be able to identify a suspect. It could also mean the difference of saving somebody's life if somebody was shot and incapacitated. It could mean the difference of quick response to save their life as well. So this information was presented to the City Council. We had a company representative come out and talk about it, and that's about where the end of my 4 years was. There looked like there was going to be a possibility For some budget money to be able to look into that and give it a fair test. But now with COVID and, you know, income tax potentially, you know, source going budget. Down and budget issues yeah. and other expenses, it's hard to say. But I think that is... But it just simply is a tool in the toolbox. Would I like to see more officers on the street? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, but this is a tool, much like if you think about two-way radio back in the day. You know, we don't live in a time where the police have to use a call box and have slow response rates. You have a police radio that you can get a dispatch. You can get an you know fairly accurate dispatch in terms of time and geography. This is just more or an extension of the technology applied to police work. So again, think outside the box, come up with more creative solutions, mm-hmm. and this is my background.
Craig Pappen with us. Craig, a final word for the voters. Why should they vote for you?
Well, again, I think that in my case, the background and the diversity of my background is much larger than any of the opponents. I think that I don't live in a world that is just the criminal justice system of Jackson County. I bring for a lot of other experience, both with military, with law enforcement. We didn't talk about my business experience, and that's for over 30 years, and I think that is directly applicable to the civil docket in a court, as well as my private practice that I worked in civil matters, such as landlord-tenant and other things that are likely to go in front of the court, including you know the mediations or alternative dispute resolution. So I've got a wealth of background that I think is directly applicable to this position, and I look forward that I'd have the opportunity to serve Jackson County in that capacity.
Craig, thanks for coming out, and good luck to you.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
On the 4th. Appreciate it.